I'm Deanne Penn with UN News. With unemployment in Gaza standing at 54%, young people there are living a daily existence in a nightmarish scenario, according to the UN Humanitarian Coordinator for the Occupied Palestinian Territory. Jamie McGoldrick said Palestinian youth gaze across the Mediterranean at the lives of their European counterparts and wonder why they too cannot have a job or buy a car or afford to go on holiday. Mr. McGoldrick was in New York this week and spoke to Ma Yacoub about challenges facing UNRWA, the UN agency that assists the Palestinian people, which continues to face a staggering $200 million funding shortfall. He began by addressing recent developments at the agency, whose chief resigned this month pending the outcome of an investigation into alleged misconduct.
I haven't seen the letter, and I know that the resignation has taken place, but what I would say is, I mean, I think it's very important that the mandate was renewed last week for 3 years, and I think the vote that came by the member states to that showed very strongly the support for UNRWA. That said, I think that what they have is a real challenge ahead of them. They're currently $89 million a blank area, and they've got another $110 million pledged but outstanding. So collectors are $200 million, which is for essential services for UNRWA, and there's no alternative to UNRWA. In places like Gaza, they're the only people who are providing that level of support to that number of people. And if that was to stop, then what you've got is schools, you've got hospitals, you've got basic support to a population who are dependent on international assistance stuck. And we have to find ways of making it sustainable. And right now, the fragile funding streams that go to UNRWA are very uncertain. And it only just, I think, increases the tension, increases the unhappiness, the uncertainty. And I think it could also lead to some other key problems in the future.
Mm-hmm. You are coming from OPT. How was Gaza when you left the territory? And how was the situation in the aftermath of the latest Israeli attack?
Well, I think the Israeli attack was as part of, this back and forth, the escalation that took place last week. I think we saw large numbers of rockets that flew into the neighbouring areas in Israel. And I think that's unfortunate because it's indiscriminate against, civilian populations. But I think the fact that there was 34 people killed in Gaza itself, and of those, 8 children and 20 women, I think it's clear there's a major tragedy there. And I think we have to, and there was a whole family in one of the attacks, one of the bombings, and I think there has to be investigations, independent and impartial investigations into these events in order for going to build trust and support. And what we hope is that the CAM that's taken place last Friday, the actual marches on the Friday was closed, it was stopped, and I think these are good signs, and hopefully the CAM maintains, because people are tired. I mean, they've been put through this so many times, and if you see the way people live in Gaza and you see the conditions they have to endure, I mean, it's the hopelessness and the despair that's there is so palpable. And there's a frustration, there's an anger, there's a rage there that's caused by the suffocating blockade that's there. And I think that it's always going to be fragile unless we do something more sustainable and fundamental.
Mm-hmm. You said there will be no march, meaning the great march of return has stopped. So is it like just a temporary stop, or?
I think it's temporary. I don't know because I don't talk to the people.
They might resume.
I assume they will resume, but this is just because it's connected to the deaths of last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before the OPT, you were in Yemen.
Yeah.
If we were to compare the two contexts, where do you find the most hardship or challenges?
I don't think it's necessarily. Good to compare tragedy. I mean, mm-hmm. I think no matter where you are, and I don't think there's a league table for tragedy. I mean, if you're a person, a normal individual living in Gaza or living in Sana'a or living in other parts, I mean, you never compare yourself to others. You just compare yourself to what you've got, what it was like before. And I think in the Gaza context, it's what you have ahead of you. And I think that what people have ahead of them is a very dark and nightmarish future. And I think in Sana'a, it's probably less so because it's a fresh crisis. And you see that political gains are already been made by the special envoy there. He seems to be able to do some work with the parties. And I think things are moving in a better direction than they were, say, 2 years ago. In Gaza, I think the reconciliation issue between the two parts of the Fatah and Hamas is still a long way off, although elections have been suggested mm-hmm. in the future. I think until there's a unified Palestinian approach, you won't have an attempt to have a better reconciliation with Israel. And I think that's important that we move forward on that. So, but I think the tragedy itself is very much the same. It's like in any crisis, it's always the poorest and the most vulnerable who suffer. And in the case of Palestine, it's the same as Yemen. It's the poorest. poorest people, it's the people who live in a very fragile existence, people who have been abandoned or people who have been disenfranchised or people who have had no government working for them for years, decades, whatever the case may be. And then what you see is an example of that suffering is that people's day-to-day life in both places. But right now, because I'm in Palestine, I'll talk about Palestine. Mm-hmm. People struggle on a daily basis because of, for example, in Gaza, 54% of people are unemployed. And there are 7 out of 10 under 30 years of old. So every 7 out of every 10 person doesn't have a job. And, you know, people wake up in the morning and they go on their mobile phones and they see 25-year-olds in Italy or in London and they say to themselves, why can't I have a job and a car and married and travel and freedom?
Normal life.
And so for them, it's a day existence in a nightmarish scenario because it's quite a despondent place to live because people look across the horizons at the sea and the Mediterranean Sea and they know what's at the other side. You know, they know that people are having holidays and people are having a life and that where they're stuck. And I think that dimension plays on you. And that's why I think we've got some serious psychological issues there. I think that's why the suicide rates are there. I think why people, drug taking takes place. I think people are just trying to relieve. And I think that's why you have the demonstrations. Mm. I think people, it's an opportunity to sort of let rip because they don't get that chance otherwise.
If we compare what you have this year to last year, where are we? Is it better?
Well, I don't think it's better. I mean, for example, if you measure, I don't think statistics tell the story. Mm. I think what tells the story is the human dimension of things. And if you look at it from an external point of view, the funding we have is less than it was last year. You know, we are currently about 57% funded of a humanitarian response plan we put out. That's about $200 million. And what that equates to is that 40% of people we should be serving because we've identified them as needs and people who require assistance, we don't fund them. We don't support them. So what happens to them? They just get more vulnerable and more impoverished for next year. And if the funding is going in the same direction, right now it's diminishing. What chances do we have to address those needs as people's needs are getting worse? So you've got economic decline, you've got political paralysis, and you've got growing humanitarian needs. It's a worse combination that you can have. And we don't see any way out of it. And what we're trying to do is to appeal to the international community, try and rescue this before it becomes something which is really, really bad and difficult then beyond. And it's not just UNRWA, but it is UNRWA, but it's other UN agencies, the NGOs, national, international, who are all doing a job there in services. And we have to find a way of stemming this diminishment of funding that's going. I mean, Gaza, Palestine is no longer it's no longer sort of the top priorities for countries for funding. And we have to find ways of telling that story. And I just don't think we're getting the human story out. And the health sector is a perfect example of that. Mm-hmm.